We're going to be in 2 Thessalonians, but before you turn there, let's go to James. I just really feel that somehow, some way, this will go and tie in with the sermon. If you're visiting today, you've already found out that we're a little different, maybe. I'm a controlled rambler. I'll get to the point eventually, so bear with me. But I really do feel that this part is something that we can all relate to. We generally teach, expositionally. We go book by book and verse by verse, chapter by chapter, the whole thing. Today I want to try to blend a little bit of a topical, if you would. The reason I do verse by verse in most Calvaries is because then, like, my wife can't say I was picking on her, or Tom says, you meant that for me. If it comes up in the scripture, there it is. But today's going to be a topical and exactly what Paul, through the Holy Spirit, was trying to convey to those in Thessalonica. So in James chapter 3, and I'd encourage you read all of James chapter 3. I mean, it's a short read, but I want to key in. It says, for in many things, verse 2, we offend all. If any man offend not in word. So I want us to start to hear what God is saying to each one of us individually and as a church about our speech, about our words, about how we talk and present. You know, this has nothing to do with eloquence, okay? When we present the gospel, it doesn't matter how, the command of the English language, it doesn't matter. It's God's power speaking to a needy heart. Don't ever forget that. But when we just speak regularly to each other, it isn't very eloquent at some times, we're going to hopefully get to. And that's what I feel God was at least trying to impress upon my heart. So we're talking about, if we don't offend in word, the same as a perfect man, he's able to bridle his whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they might obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also ships, which, though they be so great, are driven by fierce winds, yet they're turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. Where's Rick? Our fire chief. Just a spark can ruin the beauty of this whole place up here. One spark. It's the same thing with our tongues. And it's going to go along, I hope and pray, with 2 Thessalonians. And you can turn there now. Read the rest of that at your leisure this week, though, and apply it to your heart. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Great section here. It's almost a springboard. It's a hinge. You know how important hinges are to doors. Without them, they'd be useless. And I feel these verses, especially 13, we haven't been able to get off that, about not wearying in well-doing. Don't we get tired sometimes of just being the one who does all the right stuff or tries to do it or doing good and nobody cares and people just kick you right in the face? However you might say it, I'm ex-New Yorker, so that's how, I say in the teeth usually. We just get tired. But God is trying to encourage us, don't weary in doing that. I'm watching you. I'm paying attention to what's going on. When it's done in my name, I'm very pleased. So with that, what we're going to read today, we can't be weary in order to have this happen in our lives and to those that we deal with. So brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him that he might be ashamed. Verse 15, the most important. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Father, help us to hear this. Help us to just put this all together. That our speech, Father, sometimes we feel no one hears us. No one's listening. Others are paying attention that we don't even realize they're trying to hear what we're saying. But most of all, you hear us, Lord. So allow us to just receive correction from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So in its context, if we look at those verses, 14 and 15 is where we are in our walk through the Bible. If we look at those verses, it's part of church discipline. In its context, it's talking about a brother who refuses to work even though he can work. Now, there are people who can't work for whatever reasons it might be, health problems, physical problems, whatever. But this was an address in church discipline, as we've been learning. That's a rough one. Nobody likes to be told what they should or shouldn't be doing, especially me, right, Mom?
Really?
Really? Anyhow, in its context there, this is instruction for a brother who refuses to work. But he can work. But in this is an application, I feel, for us. Not only when we're enacting church discipline. Now, that's something that really, don't get scared by that. If it's done properly, it's really a blessing. So it's something that we have to have. It's something that we have to learn when we're enacting church discipline with one another. And when approaching or correcting or resolving some disputes with each other, we have to remember that 15. Now, when we speak to somebody, and you know what's interesting, in my translation, I hope it's in yours, in 14 it says, and if any man, right? Now, Paul's speaking to believers. And I think he probably is saying, you know, to any man within this, you know, Thessalonica and that we're speaking to or hearing this epistle. But he says any man. If any brother, he could have said that. The Holy Spirit uses, you know, words expressly. But he did say, if any man. So I looked at this and I thought, my goodness, it's not only how I speak to my brothers and sisters in Christ, but it's how I speak to those people that are outside these walls. It's how I speak to people that are outside the faith that God has granted to you and I. So it's also when we're trying to correct or approach someone or resolve some kind of dispute that goes on the way that God would have us to do it, to any man. So in verse 14, Paul gives that instruction, don't have anything to do with him so that he might be ashamed. And what he's saying is, note that man, call him out. What we really need to hear in this is, it's a brother or sister walking disorderly, but our whole point is the correction of his or her behavior to gain a brother or a sister. It's not, here's the door. In a church, you don't go by what we like. This is, you're out of line, get out of here. Is that what God did to any of us? I know he didn't speak to me that way. And God is trying to get across that our words have to be so seasoned with grace as we speak to each other and as we speak to people outside these walls, that they might feel something different. Not just, you know, words. I was a New York City cop, so my language, and, you know, forgive me a little, it wasn't very pleasing. It wasn't very pleasant. It's more than those words, though. God is saying the intent of the heart that we're speaking to people. God is trying to get across in my head how I speak to that person should be the way I want to be spoken to by anybody. So within this, I hope we can apply it. Remember, not everything is to us, but it's all for us. Everything that's in here, we can apply to our lives. So the reason that we would, in that word, admonish a brother or a sister in the Lord or somebody else outside, is that they would become embarrassed by their behavior. It's not excommunication, it's restoration in mind. And sometimes that, you know, that's, it's work, isn't it? It's easy to tell somebody, why don't you hit the trail? Why don't you just go? I'm done with you. I'm not even going to approach this again. We've got all these statements when God is saying, no. The whole purpose of why I'm having you speak to this individual, to admonish him in this disorderly conduct or a walk or whatever it might be, is to restore. And not only is that person be restored, but we gain a brother or a sister. It's another one in the family. I mean, there's no, I don't know about you. There's nothing better than family. Now, here's a whole family. I'm speaking out of turn, but there's nothing better than a tight-knit family that we can go through arguments, we can go through joys, we can go through sorrows, we can go through anything. And I think it happens because of the way that we treat and speak to one another. So here's what the Lord is trying to tell us in that little verse there. Don't count this person as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And I feel that over time, we take freedoms with each other. The longer we know each other, the more time we spend in each other's company, we take a little bit more freedom and say things that we might not mean them, but we don't think, and it really damages or it hurts the individual that's hearing it. I didn't really mean it that way. And sometimes I, in my quiet head part, oh yes I did. But I got caught. Oh yes I did. I meant that. There's so many nice ways to cut somebody up. And as Christians, there's an old statement from back in the 80s that we're the only ones that kill our own wounded. And we do it with words. We do it with hurt, spiteful words that come out. So God is saying, I want you to learn how to do this properly, Doug. You've heard, it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. Or when you say it. There's certain times that we should not open our mouth. Trust me, this is not the right time. I've been married 51 years to Pat. And there's times I hear, don't say, and I just blurt it out anyhow. And it's like, why did I do that? It's because this tongue, as we read in James, it's the strongest member of the body, they say. I don't know about that, but we can't control it. Look what God's done with a tongue. He's given us two teeth to shut up, two lips, two hands, and we still can't tame it. We still can't control it. So I do think it does matter what I say and how I say it. You know, there was a time way back, Tom was a communications major. I was a New York City police officer. I was a communication major also. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. But Tom would say the exact same thing that I said, and people would cry, oh, thank you, Tom. I'd say the same thing. They'd come to Pat, what is wrong with him? Hasn't he come off the streets yet or something? You know, it's like, but it does matter how we say it to an individual. And it does matter what we say and how we say, what spirit we say it in. Is it in the spirit of Christ as he would talk to us? That's what I just kept feeling. So admonish. What's, you know, admonish, we look at that as something bad. And somebody tells us something that, you know, you shouldn't be doing this as a Christian. Who are you to tell me? Are you judging me? Are you know that whole routine that goes on. But we're instructed to admonish one another. And that word admonish, like I said, has a negative connotation to it, but I don't believe so. Strong's Concordance. Maria, you saw me, but I can't get it going. She goes, look, you're using your Google pad. Admonish, Greek word, admonish. This is a word, through instruction, appealing to the mind, supplying doctrinal and spiritual substance or content. This exerts positive pressure on someone's logic or reasoning, urging them to choose God's best. Wow, that puts a whole nother light on admonish. But be careful when you come up and tell me something, okay? So I want to apply. I take admonitions much better these days. But some of us don't. And because we get admonished, because we have that within our humanness, it is so easy to transfer it onto someone else. And it's almost like, you know, I didn't really mean that. I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to say that. Well, it's like, why did I say it? Because the Word of God says that out of the abundance of the heart, and in the Hebrew, the heart is the emotions. It's not out of this little heart right here, but out of my emotions, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you want to know what's in your heart, listen to how you speak. Listen to how we speak to one another. Listen to how we speak to those people outside. Listen to how we speak about an individual who doesn't know the Lord, let's say, and we make those comments. And God is listening, and he's saying, Doug, that's what's in your heart. That's what's coming out your lips, but we can change this. So within our own ranks, I hope we can apply this. I wish we could apply it to those outside the faith, but you know, this is like a boot camp in here. If we can't do it to one another, If we can't do what we just saw in 15, when we have to speak to somebody about anything that it might be, and let's even take that in and not narrow it, but broaden it. This goes with our workplaces, this goes with our families, this goes with our wives, this goes with our husbands, this goes to people in the grocery store. We can apply what God is trying to get to us in every area of our life, that it does matter what we say to our children, to our families, to those who are watching us. So you might say, yeah, I've just been in this habit of being so negative. It's a critical spirit that starts to build when we almost feel that someone is an enemy instead of a brother. How do you treat your brother? That could be a bad question to ask some people. I hope I treat you okay. I could do better. I could do better.
Maybe.
Maybe. But we're supposed to speak to people as if they were a member of our family, which prayerfully, hopefully, we all are. So how do I do this? I've been in this routine of being critical, of being judgmental. I can't think of how many times we have sat around a table with our children growing up prior to being Christians that we set things in their head by what we said about people. My son, if he was here today, he learned something from me. Everybody's an idiot, right? This was before, because the guy that owns the shop that he works for is an idiot. The guy that's doing this is an idiot. The guy that, you know, they don't know anything. And I'm thinking, well, they have a $1 million business going. They must know something. It's how we speak, and people are hearing it. And we're supposed to be speaking as if I'm speaking to my brother, not behind his back, you, not to someone else. We're supposed to speak with grace. So how do I do it? How do I learn this? How would Christ have me to speak? So turn to Proverbs 15. Just a little walk in Proverbs. These are by no means all of the scriptures that pertain to this. Salute. But I'd have us start looking into this about speech and about talking, about how to admonish properly within church discipline, or just how to speak to one another. Especially, we should not be speaking to others about somebody else. If we've got something to say, go to that brother, the word says. If you've got a problem, go to him. Speak to him or her. And if he listens or she listens, it says you gained a brother by that. That's tremendous. So what would God have this guy to speak, who I'm speaking in another language to a degree from who I was prior to 1980. And I'm starting to learn my words are so important. Our words are so critical. And the Lord says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord, verse 3, are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A soft word. Most of us who are manly men, right? That guy doesn't deserve that. He deserves a good tongue lashing. I mean, I've been practicing this all week in my head when I stand in front of him what I'm going to say. We don't do that. As children of our Lord, he's saying soft words, quietly, nice. It's going to turn away any kind of a problem. But when I push, the natural response of another individual is to push back. Or when we lean in, the response is to lean into it. Try a soft word if we want to accomplish this in our lives. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, verse 11 and 12. Again, it's our words that are so critical. And even those words, you know, and I want to say this because I've had times when I've said something in jest. I've said something trying to be funny. Haven't you ever done that? And you crush the person. You just crush them. What I said wasn't taken by that person as funny as I might have thought it was. It wasn't something that, you know, they received well. So our words are very critical. And 11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. You know, the picture there that we're getting is, you know, that earring. In 12, it says, as an earring of gold. That adds physical beauty to a degree, doesn't it? It just adds a little accent and looks pretty. As earrings beautify a woman, or a guy. Guys can have earrings too. These words that God is asking us, it will bring moral and spiritual beauty into that individual's life. And it will be coming out of us and will be known that way, just as you can. It's a beautiful set of earrings. How many times has somebody said that? How about that? Was a beautiful way you put that to me. Thank you. My words are so critical. Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no corrupt, or in your translations, possibly worthless, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. None? Not even a little? Not even if the person really deserves it? Not if the person really hacked me off? Not if nobody else is willing to tell him, I'll tell him? No, I think the Lord means what he says. Don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, Doug, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearers. So my words are supposed to be gracious. And we so often just allow this stuff to go free. There was a time, if you remember, I didn't allow sissy cussing in this church. You know, those little curses. There, you know, we don't qualify them as big. But I started realizing, we're in God's house. Blessings and cursings should not come from the same mouth, especially here, even if it's poo-poo, you know. It shouldn't be. Words are so important, and the Lord is listening. Is that grace that God's hearing that's coming from my lips, or is it just dripping with something else? How do I... Well, turn to Colossians, if you would. Grace to the hearers. And I read this other one the other night. Colossians chapter 4. So I'm pulling it to an end right now. The point I hope I'm making is not only when we deal with one another in this church structure, if something is wrong, someone's offended us, somebody has gossiped about us, somebody has said something, or they're literally living a life out there that is bringing... Whatever might be being done wrong is not bringing disgrace to Doug Gibney, or in a sense to this framed out piece of work here. It's bringing a reproach against our Lord and Savior, who went far beyond building a structure out of wood. He hung on that for me. He hung on that so all these things that we're reading can become possible. Will we be perfect in it? Will we never know? But we can keep striving to do it. So how do I do it? And what is God asking? So what I've got is, let your speech, in Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, some of you might have that underlined or trying to think, what exactly does that mean? Let your speech be always, not just when the pastor's around, not when one of the other members of the church are around, not when God is always around. And he's trying to get to me, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how to answer every man. Does that say we can't correct? No. The grace... Here's a picture. Remember when the woman was caught in adultery? She was caught in adultery, and she came to the Lord, and the Lord said, where are your accusers, woman? And she said, I have none. And he said, this is grace. Neither do I condemn thee. But you know where the salt was? Go and sin no more. So there is a way of placing grace in front of somebody and letting their ears hear it, but it's also that ability to put the salt, that thing that gives flavor, that preserves into an individual's life. And I feel that's what God is, me for sure, you guys. Can I have two more? Psalm 141. This will be quick. So, you know, here, to wrap it all up with that verse, you look at it, but concentrate again on my speech, my word, not mine, yours. Speech, words, how you talk to people. If you're nicer to one person, you know, speaking to them in love than you are another individual. It's just a check on where we are. If I'm speaking harshly to someone within the body of Christ or that church that you might go to, is there somebody that you just can't get along with? I'm starting to feel God has put that individual into our lives so that we can start to hone a little bit more of the gifts that he's put within us. It's easy to love James and Riri and Kathy and move beyond that. Let's move beyond that. So how do I do this? And am I speaking in a manner other than godly grace? And if I am, here's the resolve in 141. Verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. What? I mean, that's a simple prayer. So if you've got a problem, if everybody that goes by you is a jerk or idiot or a moron, as our past brother, you know, one day yelled at a guy that cut off people, you got it where you want it, moron? I mean, that seems simple. But then he feared when he was coming here because the guy could be coming to church. What if he comes to Calvary Chapel? We got a traffic circle for the first time. I was going to do a wedding late, like Craig can understand, all the time, always running a little bit. We're going around the traffic circle, a beautiful Lincoln or whatever it was, with some finely coiffed women and guys in there in ties were coming around, and they were going to cut me off, and I just kind of laid on the horn, and it was summer, and Pat got a, can't you read the sign, you know? All the way to Estes Park, that same car was behind me. And I said, hey, babe, I think these guys are coming to the wedding that I'm officiating at. Sure enough, they were at the wedding at Estes Park. It's like, but it shouldn't be, right? It's cool. Oh, everybody laughed, but it shouldn't be, you know? It should not be. Last one, Psalm 19. Here's a prayer. And I'd ask that I'm going to try it. Oh, yeah, it was very embarrassing. I kept, Pat's going, why are you speeding? I'm going into the Stanley Hotel, trying to get into the parking lot, whipping all the way around. She goes, what are you doing? I said, I want to get out where they can't see it's me. You know, prayer. If you fall into this category, like I'm sure every one of us do during the course of the day, it's just frustration, it's anxieties that it makes this stuff come out, but the stuff is in here. Remember what God said. I want it out of here. I want it to go so that people can hear Jesus Christ. And this is your prayer and mine. Verse 14 of Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This salute. There's a connection between our thoughts and our words, isn't there? God hears them. He knows our every thought before we even think them. And there's a connection in there that I would ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. How many times do you sit there and say, oh, hi, you know, very good to see you. And in your head, you old dog, you know, I'm just sort of, God hears that. I don't want that stuff because that starts to become us. We need to rid ourselves of that. Send it to the trash or whatever. How do they do that on the computer? Just push the little garbage can. And we do that by prayer. And we ask him, let me speak what's acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. I'd ask you on those last three, is he? Is he your Lord today? If he's not, he's calling your heart. He loves you. God can forgive us of every single thing we've ever done, thought, speak, and still do. Is he your Lord? Is he your strength? Or are we counting on the arm of strength, as the Bible says, which we'll see gets weakened as time goes on? Is he your Redeemer? And if he's not, there'll be people up here praying after we're done worship. Please ask Jesus into your life. He's waiting for you. He loves you. He's got good for you. Thank you, Lord. Help us to hear this in the way it applies to us, Father, in the way that I am in my life, not somebody else's. That doesn't concern me. You're concerned with my words. You're concerned with my thoughts. So help us to take this simple verse that we had today, put it into our church discipline, if need be, just relationship between one another. If there's schisms here, if there's people who are just fed up with each other, help us how to sit and speak that we might regain that fellowship that we've had. So Lord, thank you, and especially for those outside these walls or any church wall, help us to speak that they might hear you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's worship the Lord, yeah?